Hey friends, welcome back to Metacosmios, a podcast with astrological forecasts for pasts and other cosmic chit-chat. I'm your host, Jay, translator of planetary cadence, also known as an astrologer. Thanks so much for being here. This time on the show, I'm going to chat about eclipses. Eclipse season is nearly here. It's going to kick off around March 16th and wrap up around April 22nd. I think there's a lot of fear around eclipses, a lot of misunderstanding in regards to what they symbolize, what they offer, how we can work or not work with them. And I'm certainly no eclipse expert, but I do feel I have some knowledge to share, and hopefully what I do share will give everyone a greater understanding or maybe a new perspective, or maybe nothing I say works for you and you can just feel free to toss it right the fuck out the window. That is totally cool. This will not be a full treatment or anything on eclipses. There's always more to learn, always deeper to dig. Yeah, sure. You get it. But, you know, I'm going to share my understanding and what I've seen in actual practice, and hopefully it'll provide some support for the upcoming season. So we're going to talk about eclipses in general. We'll talk about the two eclipses that are happening in March and April. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the nodes, because the nodes are the trigger points for eclipses and eclipse season. All right, so what are the nodes? Well, usually when you hear people talk about the nodes, they're referring to the north and south nodes of the moon. Now, all planets technically have nodes, but they're not really as commonly used in astrology. I mean, not as much as the nodes of the moon, for sure. So the moon's nodes are what we're focused on when we're talking about eclipses and eclipse season. And it's important to note that they're not actual physical objects in our sky. They are just mathematical points that represent where the moon's orbit intersects with the apparent path of the sun. And so when the sun gets close to those nodes, within 18 degrees on either side, to be exact, that's when eclipse season is triggered. So that's that date range that I gave, March 16th till April 22nd, that will be when, at least for this part of the year, the sun is close to the north node in Aries. And so any new or full moon that happens during that window of time when the sun is within 18 degrees of a node, we know that there will be, that those new and full moons will be eclipses. That's something that I often actually see some confusion around, is that people don't realize eclipses are technically just new and full moons. And they are, but just with a much different energy. And that's partly because of the actual physical alignment of the sun and the moon at the time of an eclipse, which we'll get into, and also because of the interaction of the nodes. So in terms of the nodes' symbology, there are some differing opinions, as is the case with so much of astrology, and it really depends what philosophies and schools of thought work for you, but the understanding that I like the most comes from the Vedic tradition that sees the north node as the head of a dragon and the south node as the tail of a dragon. And it's kind of conceptualized as like the nodes together as this dragon that is like chasing the sun. It's super interesting. And this, it's from this framework that certain significations are derived, and these are the significations that I use in my practice. So for the north node, this head of the dragon, it becomes a point of insatiability, of cravings and yearnings. There's this quality of always wanting more, always desiring more. It's a point of increase and overstimulation, overdoing it and excess. because it's only the head of the dragon, it can be a place of being overly logical, overly ambitious, overly focused on goals and accumulation. There is no stomach, so to speak, to satiate the hunger, to find nourishment from all of the input that it's receiving. And sometimes these cravings can show us where we are lacking something in our lives, maybe where we are denying something that we truly desire. And anytime we have nodal activations, it can certainly help us to identify current problems, current extremes and imbalances, and clue us into steps that we need to take moving forward to manage that. So North Node, insatiable, hungry, always wanting more. The South Node, on the other hand, is that bottom half of the dragon, right? And so there's this quality of emptying out, release, letting go, purging, purifying, detoxifying. It can represent endings, cutting ties, closure, decluttering. You know, where the North Node might point to an energetic increase, the South Node points to an energetic decrease, a depletion, a draining. The South Node doesn't have those same ambitions and hungers that the North Node does. It's a much less materially focused energy and far more spiritually inclined. It's got the heart and the belly. So it speaks to where we have strong gut feelings about something, but nothing logical or concrete to back it up. And it's a nodal activation with the South Node can be when we're sorting through old pain and trauma and disentangling ourselves from the past. It's the real mucky work of healing. Now, anytime we have a planet near either of the nodes, there is this churning, intense, busy, frenzied kind of energy. The nodes have a very agitating and stirring quality. They can be unsettling and disruptive. One of my teachers, Kelly Surtees, has often described the effect of the nodes as like kicking up mud in a pool of water. So where we had this clear pool of water before, now the dirt or the sand is mucking it all up, and it's cloudy and it's messy and it's stirring up old shit. Now, the nodes are usually moving retrograde, but they move pretty slowly and they mostly just kind of wobble back and forth. So even in their actual movement, they're wobbly and unsteady. And so you might be starting to see why new and full moons that happen near these nodes tend to be a little unsettling, a little charged, a little electric. So what is an eclipse? An eclipse is a disruption to the regular pattern and rhythm of the lunar cycle. I mentioned the different physical alignment that the sun and moon have at these events. And what I meant by that is that during a solar eclipse or a new moon near one of the nodes, the moon will come between the sun and the earth, blocking sunlight from reaching earth. And during a lunar eclipse or a full moon near a node, the earth comes between the sun and moon, blocking sunlight from reaching and illuminating the moon. And the sun's light being blocked or darkened is pretty intense. You know, the sun in astrology speaks to life and vitality. And so when that light is taken away, it feels like something we should be paying attention to. It feels like a major event. You know, the sun's light is so consistent for us, the way it shows up every day without fail. And then for these moments to have that light blocked, it's calling our attention for sure. And it would stand to reason that we might not feel as vital or energized with that light being blocked, especially on the day of the eclipse, but within the days around the eclipse as well. And I think these can be great opportunities to rest and to cleanse. And it doesn't have to be a physical cleanse, but, you know, it could just be about lightening, lightening the schedule. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, taking some stuff off of the to-do list, taking more naps, drinking more water, journaling more often, booking more therapy sessions. Way, way back in the day, the ancient peoples of the world would seek shelter during an eclipse, which makes sense because they didn't have the artificial light that we now have, right? And so the light of the sun going out would have been even more bonkers than it is now. But they would seek shelter and they would take this time to meditate or engage in some kind of spiritual work. You know, the focus was on taking time for reflection and creating a calm environment and making space for quiet, you know, and slowing down because you can only move so fast in darkness. So just like an eclipse is a break in the regular routine for the lunar cycle, because these are not regular new and full moons, it can also, eclipses and eclipse season can also represent a break in the regular routine for us. And sometimes it just sort of happens, you know, things feel a bit off or a bit out of order during eclipse season, because it's not just the exact days of the eclipse that have the potential for chaotic energy and weird happenings. It's the entirety of eclipse season. It's like this tunnel or this liminal space. Some people call them portals. We enter this space where the energy is just a little topsy-turvy. Things that might normally be accessible to us are temporarily out of reach. Things that we might not typically have access to might suddenly become available. Activities that might normally feel like a yes might feel more like a no right now, and vice versa. Eclipse season takes things that are normally light or illuminated, you know, like the sun, things that we can normally see and understand, and it darkens them. It obscures them for these windows of time. And I think it can be really helpful to pay attention to those reversals or those disruptions in patterns that are happening around this time and see how it feels to not do that thing you'd normally do every weekend and instead do the thing that you might not ever do otherwise. You know, it can be a chance to learn something about our regular rhythms and patterns, to see what's not working and maybe what is. You know, like when we're cut off from something, maybe we realize, oh, we actually really love doing that thing. And now that it's for whatever reason inaccessible, we're realizing how much we truly cherish it. But also not being able to access that other thing, we realize, oh, I actually don't want to do that all the time anymore. Now, what I don't think is super helpful during eclipse season is to continue with regular rituals, including our regular lunar rituals. And I know there's a lot of pushback against this. I see it every eclipse season. People post on social media about still wanting to set their intentions and do all the things that they would normally do. And for me personally, I just feel like I try to move with the energy that the cosmos is sending my way. And eclipses to me are a sign that there's a shift, there's an interruption in the pattern. So why would I try to push against that and keep doing the same thing? You know, I'm being offered this opportunity to rest or try something different. And I just think, why not take that? You know, and for all the reasons that I just went over, the energy at this time is unsteady. It's a little chaotic and agitated and overstimulated. Things are really stirred up. And I mean, I don't know if I want that energy infused in any of my new moon intentions. And it's also like with all that unsettled energy, maybe rest and nervous system regulation is the best intention to set. I think eclipses can be a great reminder that we don't always have to be manifesting or setting intentions. You know, if the lunar cycle can get interrupted and then continue on as usual the next month, I think we can do the same. Now, maybe you want something that has some real wild and strange energy wrapped up into it. So, you know, you're all adults, I assume, and you're going to make your own choices. So you do you, right? This is just my experience and my insights into working with the vibes being offered. Something else you might notice about eclipses or eclipse season is that they tend to really affect and impact people in leadership positions, people in the public eye, anyone with kind of a visible position of power. And I think anyway, it's because the sun is the leader figure. You know, it's like it's the king, basically, of the planets. And so really, anytime the sun is in difficult condition, we could anticipate folks in leadership or, you know, in the public eye having a potentially difficult time. And though it's not often talked about in this way, the moon does symbolize or can symbolize groups of people, the gathering of crowds. And so in a lunar eclipse, when the light is blocked from reaching the moon, we might interpret that as society or communities having power or information cut off. Now, with all of that said, an important thing to remember is that eclipses themselves are these like peak points, these climaxes in a larger story, because the nodes will transit a pair of signs, a pair of zodiac signs, for about 18 months at a time, and will have a handful of eclipses in those signs during that 18 months. So eclipses act as these periods of heightened activity or awareness around that ongoing story. You know, they're new and full moons with a little something extra. They can bring great beginnings and great endings. Now, part of that ongoing story that we've been navigating with the nodes in Aries and Libra has been around the balance and interplay between self and other, between independence and being in connection, and figuring out how to find some kind of equilibrium between the needs of the self and the needs of the other. And the nodes being in Aries and Libra have brought an unsteady energy to those areas of life, even if it's not always noticeable, but perhaps during eclipse season, again, that's, you know, when things begin to, when the mud really gets stirred up in that pool of water. But it's kind of always lurking in the background while the nodes are there. It has been since July 2023 when the nodes specifically moved into Aries and Libra. So whatever was working in terms of relationships and relational dynamics before has now been a little upset or disrupted. And now we're seeing, you know, the dirt in that pool of water or the problems, the issues. The water might not be clear, but now all the dirt and the sand is. All those issues are clear now. We're learning what's not working and what is working in terms of relationships. And also how to collaborate with others or how we collaborate with others. Are we allowed to be leaders? Are we allowing others to be leaders? Is there a healthy balance of power? How do we maintain agency and autonomy? How do we stay true to ourselves while being in partnership or in collaborative spaces? And with the North Node specifically in Aries and the South Node specifically in Libra, we might find we're wanting to ditch relationships that don't allow for us to be ourselves or don't allow us to have the space we need to pursue self-motivated goals and individual activities. And so that's on a bigger collective kind of scale. You'll want to apply that to the Aries and Libra houses in your chart to make that more personal. So I thought that might be helpful moving into eclipse season to just remember that, like, we're already moving through this story. These themes have already been present. And, you know, it started, like I said, back in July of 2023. So we're actually almost midway through the story at this point, and we're just kind of entering another one of those peak periods. And that first peak in the peak period will happen in Libra when we have a lunar eclipse in Libra at 5 degrees. This will happen on March 25th at around 3 a.m. Eastern, and it's going to take place near the South Node. So this eclipse will be about purging, emptying out, and releasing, about endings and letting go, and specifically in regards to the topics of our Libra house. So if Libra is your fourth house, maybe you're actually decluttering your home to bring more balance or beauty. If Libra is your first house, maybe you're purging wardrobe items that, you know, you've only held on to because they meet some kind of external standard, but you don't actually like them. Or maybe Libra is your second house and you're donating money or other resources to causes that you feel connected to. Those are ideas of how to like work with the energy of the releasing and the clearing. It could still show up on an emotional level, of course. This is a full moon we're talking about, and the South Node is also a very spiritual, healing, feeling point. So those are more physical ways of trying to move with that energy. But if you've listened to the show for a while, you might remember a story I told, I think in relation to an eclipse in Scorpio, but I was talking about, you know, symbolically throwing away receipts, you know, getting rid of that mental and emotional baggage, but then about how I also literally threw away receipts. Like I had this I had this big like container of receipts with receipts from like 10 years ago that I just held on to because I just did. I don't know. Scorpios hang on to receipts. But I just finally was able to let them go. And it was such a literal manifestation of like cutting ties with the past. And that was one way that I worked with a Scorpio eclipse. Now, for all of us, we can think about this lunar eclipse in Libra in terms of relationships and relationship dynamics and letting go of people-pleasing tendencies, no longer just going along to get along, breaking away from doing things that make other people happy, but actually causes kind of an internal resentment because we compromised our values or our own needs in the act of making that other person happy. You know, in the going along to get along, we denied ourselves. So this eclipse could be about disentangling ourselves from old habits and patterns in relationships and even making peace with past wounds from relationships and letting go of the accompanying baggage from those past bonds. We might take time to reflect on partnerships and projects that are depleting our energy or diminishing our joy and determine how to cut ties with those people and activities. And maybe that's something that we've been working towards for several months now, and for whatever reason, we're just able to take the final step at this time. With the South Node, there can be this feeling of buildup. It's like, what's been sitting and stagnating and is now becoming toxic in our lives is finally like too much. And, you know, we can ask ourselves like, what is that in my life that has been sitting and stagnating and becoming toxic? And how do I cleanse it away? Because it is definitely time to eliminate some waste with a lunar eclipse near the South Node. Now, this is a Venus-ruled eclipse because Venus rules Libra. And during the eclipse, Venus will be in Pisces, which is a very nice place for Venus to be. And it'll also just be separating from a really potent and beautiful sextile with Jupiter in Taurus. That's going to be such a lovely little aspect, and I think it just happens the day before. And even though it's separating, it's still in the air. And my sense is that this offers kind of a silver linings outlook, an underlying feeling of hope. So we might be making some really tough decisions or navigating some really deep healing, but there is a bright spot to it all that encourages us to keep moving. Venus in Pisces brings a lot of compassion and forgiveness to the mix, so perhaps our healing processes are that much softer. You know, the catharsis might offer some kind of soothing balm. And I think Venus being in Pisces at the time of the eclipse, ruling over the eclipse, I think this configuration kind of helps us to find slowness a little easier. You know, Venus in Pisces, I think, is this really lovely reminder to make more space in our lives for ease and for joy and for pleasure and leisure, for actually being and experiencing life rather than just always pushing and striving. Now, our second eclipse in this eclipse season is pretty different. It's probably going to feel more like pushing and striving. And this is a solar eclipse in Aries at 19 degrees. It takes place on April 8th around 2:20 p.m. Eastern, and it'll happen near the North Node. This is a much stronger eclipse. The lunar eclipse in Libra was 10 degrees away from the node, which is still very significant, but this solar eclipse is just 4 degrees away, so that really amplifies the intensity of it all. And this eclipse just looks a lot harder than the lunar eclipse. Like, the quality of time on April 8th versus March 25th is just very different. It's not as lovely as that Venus in Pisces was making everything. Mercury will be retrograde in Aries at this time, and it doesn't have any rulership over Aries. It's not interacting with the eclipse in that way, but it is retrograde in the same sign where the eclipse is happening. So it adds some confusion or, you know, irritation to our communications and understandings of things in that same area. Now, Mars is the ruler of this eclipse because Mars rules Aries, which in general just kind of makes it a little crunchier than an eclipse ruled by Venus. And Mars will be in Pisces, which I think might be the key to moving through this eclipse with some ease or being able to find greater meaning in what might feel like a really intense few days. More on that in a minute. But yeah, we've got this charged lunation, a super intense new moon that is goading us into action. There's a hunger for independence and taking action and wanting to push forward with something and not wanting to wait on anyone else's timeline. There's a craving to initiate and move and keep busy. And we might overdo it. We might scatter our energy and feel a bit lost in the process of trying to be so productive. Maybe, but, or, and also, Mars will be moving towards a conjunction with Saturn, their first conjunction in the sign of Pisces for this Saturn transit. So we've got Mars, the ruler of this eclipse, heading towards a meeting with Saturn, and that to me feels like hitting a wall. Motivation is curbed, slowed, denied. Saturn is kind of like quality control coming in to check that, you know, are all of these things that we want to be busy with, are all of these trails that we want to be blazing, do they actually have any substance? And that North Node Mars combo is like, hello, we are wasting time. And I think we might experience some potentially heavy, potentially very aggravating emotions around all of this. Maybe some kind of spiritual crisis. You know, we do have two malefic planets, our two most challenging planets in a water sign. And it's like, how might this yearning to take action and kind of be pushy about it, maybe reflect on something else that's happening deep down? Is that like pushing and wanting to be busy, like masking something? Now, I said Mars in Pisces is the key. And what I mean is, maybe it'll be really helpful when we're feeling that heightened energy to just keep pushing, to just break new ground, to remember to take action that is going to be meaningful on an emotional and spiritual level, not just action for the sake of it. taking compassionate action, movement that has meaning, movement that can adapt to what's actually needed in the moment. And tapping into all of that doesn't mean that the eclipse is going to be like rainbows and roses, but maybe it helps us feel less scattered and overstimulated. I kind of think like with this, with so much focus on Pisces, you know, as a little bit of a side note, we will have our first eclipse in Pisces later this year. And we've already got the major transit of Saturn moving through Pisces, right? And then both of these eclipses in this part of our eclipse season, and then both of the eclipses in this eclipse season are ruled by planets in Pisces. So Pisces is definitely a house in your chart that deserves some extra attention this year. But I wonder if this is like a Saturn in Pisces check-in, like a really highlighted one, where we have this chance to actually take some really meaningful action on the longer story there. If we can kind of like curb the impulse to do all of the things and channel it into taking really direct, really strong, really focused action on something that is going to mean something so much greater for the long term than just in this moment. Hopefully that makes sense. I hope this has been helpful. Please feel free to reach out with any questions that you might have about eclipses, the nodes, this eclipse season, or send me your takes on how you feel these eclipses are going to turn out. I would love to hear them. Find me at Jasmine's Astrology on Instagram and Threads. And if you're curious about how the eclipses in 2024 are going to interact with your chart, book a cosmic cycles reading with me. It is a 75 to 90 minute session where we're going to look at all of your major transits for the next like 6 to 12-ish months. And we can certainly make the eclipses and eclipse season a focus if you're feeling like North Node hungry for more. And make sure you sign up for my newsletter because I'm going to be giving away 3 free cosmic cycles readings in the coming months, but it's going to be an exclusive offer just for newsletter subscribers. So you got to get on the list. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. Tell a friend if you enjoyed the episode, leave a rating, leave a review. I would be super grateful. And until the next episode, I'll catch you in the cosmos.